Certainly is good to have each and every one here tonight. We appreciate each and every one of you being here. It's good to see this many out. Tonight, I'd like to talk to you about something, and you probably heard many sermons on it, but maybe not one just like this one, but I want to talk about love. And I think that it's something in this world, with people who are so cold like they are in many instances, in many cases, and the things that we see going on around us, there's just not near enough of it. And you know what? Us as Christians, we're the ones who know love better than anything, because we know the Lord and Savior Jesus and how He died for us. Well, He died for everyone, but we know we have that relationship with Him. We really know what His love is. We hadn't just heard about it, but we really know about it. And we wouldn't know about love except we knew about God and Jesus our Savior, because that's where it comes from. We would have no glimmer of it, but we totally don't understand how much that He loved us, even though we know that Jesus did die for us and suffer tremendously for us. But we still can't grasp how much He really does love us. I'm going to start out and do just a little different than I normally do, and I hope y'all don't mind me doing that. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is where the text will come from. But I'm going to read from off-brand version, and it's because I like it, this amplified version. But I want you to follow along, and the reason that I'm going to do it out of this is because so it won't be so repetitious. But this really describes it, and I like what it says about it. It puts it real plain where anyone and everyone can understand it, even me. Sometimes I read some of the words in the King James, and I'm not knocking it because I believe that's what, and I normally always preach from it, but I use this for references sometimes or other versions. But just get better understanding. But I'm going to read it from the Amplified Version. In verse 4 of that chapter 13 of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, it says, "Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love is never envious nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious. It does not display itself haughty. It doesn't brag," in other words, being boastful. "It's not self-conceited," that vainglorious thing is what it's saying there. In verse 5 it says, "It is not conceited." And in parentheses it says, "arrogant or inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly. It does not act unbecomingly." It says love, God's love in us. And we as Christians, that's the way it should be. We should have God's love in us. We should just be overflowing with God's love because we know what we know and we have the relationship we have with Him. It says it does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of evil done to it. And it says it pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice in injustice or unrighteousness, but rejoices when right prevails and truth. Love bears under anything and everything that comes. Is ever ready to believe the best of every person. It hopes are fatalist under all circumstances, and endures everything without weakness. Love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. There's so much truth in that if you think about that. You know, if we have love for people that's gone on, you know what? We still have that feeling inside of us, don't we? We still have that for people that's gone on. So love does not have any end. You know, it's shame how we see in our society that we do, like in relationships, marriage per se, even. We seem to let it come to an end, but it shouldn't. True love does not. And see, that's the difference. It's silly to say, and I'll stomp on the feet of us a little bit as Christians and children of the Lord. You know, it's sad to say that the statistics don't show any different within people who claim to be Christians than it does the world. Marriages end up, half of them, apart. That tells me something. Do you believe if you took these characteristics that are described here that I read in these four short verses here, do you believe that it would end? I surely do not believe that it would. I believe if we have that kind of love in our hearts, and we should, and we should not only have that for people who we are in relationships with, our husbands, our wives, and our family and stuff, but we should have love like that for other people as well. That's what's missing in our society. If you want to get down to it, I believe this is the very key of it. of what's wrong within our society is that we don't have enough love. We go against what it says here about this self-seeking. And you notice how it talked about it, all that through there. Pride and arrogance and inflated and behaving ourselves in a selfish way. Those things are totally wrong and contrary according to God and according to our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. They're totally an opposite of His nature. And when it comes down to it, what it really amounts to is that we're not denying ourselves and taking up our cross and following the Lord. That's what it all comes down to. We're still following after what we want or what we think is important. We're still seeking self and trying to serve the Lord. We can't have the kind of relationship that we should have with the Lord either if we're this way, if we're self-seeking, if it's about us still, it's all about us. And I tell you what, you can see it in our society how that things are so promoted than it is all about me thing. You can see it even in our children, in our grandchildren. The sad thing about it is, too, is you see the example set in us as adults, in grown-up people. No wonder that the children act like they do and the grandchildren do are that way because they have seen it modeled in us so long. It's totally contrary to what God has for us. Turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs. We're going to start out in Proverbs and we're going to move through into the New Testament. Proverbs chapter 8, that's where we'll begin. I love Proverbs. They always have some beautiful things to say about all kinds of things and some great wisdom if we can get these. I taught them in a Wednesday night class and did for a long time with my grandchildren and stuff and all. And it certainly was awesome to be able to try to instill in them some of the wisdom in these Proverbs. I sure wish I had them whenever I was a kid. You know, I don't know, I did learn a lot of things. But if you can get a grasp on so much of this wisdom that other people's had to go through, it'll help you and go a long ways. Proverbs 8 and verse 17, it says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. You know, the Lord, He's like that. He does love us, and we should love Him. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 15, if we love Him, we'll keep His commandments. That's what He said. If we love Him, we'll do what He said for us to do. That's how we're showing that we love Him. And it's not of works, don't get me wrong, but the fact of the matter is, you will want to do what God said if you love the Lord. If you love Him, if He's important to you, if He's a priority to you, you will go by the Bible. You will go by God's Word. You won't go by Daryl's opinion or any other man's opinion. You'll seek it out for yourself. And there's an important part in this too here. Those that seek me early shall find me. If you want to find the Lord, you seek Him early. Let it be a priority in the morning. That's one way that you show that God is important to you. And if you want your day to go better, you seek the Lord early in the morning and your day will go better. If you'll read you some Scripture, if you'll talk to the Lord, you'll pray to the Lord, and you'll focus on those things, the very first thing, you'll be surprised how much better your day will go as a Christian. Chapter 9, right there in verse 8, it says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee, but rebuke a wise man, and he'll love you. He'll love thee. That's pretty awesome, man. And I know that's exactly how it is. It tells us a little bit about how we deal with people. If we know someone is a scorner, we don't need to reprove them, because he's going to hate you. But you take a wise man, and this is the difference. If you rebuke him, he's going to love you. You know why he's going to love you? Because he knows that you love him and that you're trying to help him. And the thing about it is you go about it in a kind, caring, loving way. You know? In Galatians over there where it talks about, I think it's chapter 6, talking about restoring such a one in a fault. What does it say? Consider yourself first, lest you fall into temptation. In other words, realize, hey man, I do things wrong and fall short of God's glory every day. So don't go in there with this high and haughty, I'm holier than thou, and you're doing this wrong thing. Go with that attitude. I love you, man. I'm trying to help you stay on the right path so you'll make it, and so I will too. That's the kind of attitude. And that's showing love. That's living love in our life when we're like that. You know what? And I'll go on and tell you a little further too. If you don't tell people when they're wrong, your brothers and sisters in Christ and even the other people that you love, I say in a way that you don't truly love them, because you're not helping them to make it to heaven. And that may sound hard. You may not agree, but it's the truth. If I'm doing wrong, or if I'm saying wrong, or if I... T- Tell me. Please do. I make mistakes. I'm human just like everyone else. It might save my very soul. It might keep me from getting on off on the wrong path and staying on that path. And I know that it has to start somewhere. That's the way the devil works with us many times. You don't always get over there in left field just all at once. The devil just kind of eases you over there a little bit at a time. You know, it's like all this violence and all this sexual stuff they have on TV and all. It didn't just start in one day. They just gradually worked it all the way in. And even the cussing and the filthy language that's done in the movies and even your commercials and everything else. You know what? You listen to it so long and you get to where it's just commonplace. If you don't believe me, just don't watch none of them for a long time and then turn the garbage on and see what happens. You'll just be appalled at how you've got so used to seeing things that you shouldn't see and listening to words that you shouldn't hear. But that's exactly how the devil works. I'm telling you these things too so that you'll be prepared, so that you'll be able to win the battle when the devil comes at you and using his devices. Because I don't want you to stumble and I don't want you to fall and I don't want you to end up on the wrong path. And I know even in my life I ended up on the wrong path before. And I thank the Lord that He allowed me time and opportunity to get back on the right track. And if I could help and prevent one person from it, it'd be worth it all. And that's the way that we should all be. Proverbs 10 and verse 12. It said, "Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins." How about that? We have hatred in our heart, and sometimes we do. The only hatred that a Christian should have in his heart is for evil and sin. And that's the same way that God feels. That's the only hate that you should have in your heart. I get on to my grandkids a lot about just saying that word hate. I just don't like to hear it. You might dislike something very much, but there's a whole lot of difference in that and hating something to me. You know, that hate, that's a real, real strong word. But sin is the only thing that I believe us as Christians, that we should, you know, that's the only thing we should allow to be in there, us to feel that strongly about. And that's for a good, positive way is what it is. It's to protect us. It's to keep us from that. This love covering all sins, what Jesus' love did. He died. He shed His blood. His love did cover our sins. It allows us to have remission of sins, then to be removed, forgiven. As far as the east is from the west, cast into the bottom of the sea. That's what His love did for us. You know, just think how our relationships would be improved if we go about our lives having love in it. When someone does us wrong, you know what? We won't get all stirred up about it. You know what? We'll be forgiven. We'll be merciful. And see, that's how we should be. You know, if we expect to receive mercy ourselves, what does it say in Matthew? "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." If you're not merciful, you're not going to receive mercy. If you are. And even in the forgiveness thing that it gets in there in Matthew, it says, you know, that the Lord, we're asking the Lord to forgive us in the same way we forgive others. In the Lord's Prayer. But We need that to be a good thing. We need to be where we do forgive people, where hopefully the Lord will forgive us in that same way. But I know our old fleshly man is there sometimes. We don't quite get to that point to have that right kind of attitude. But we need to. That needs to be our goal. That was one of the things in that I read. And what does it say? It's not resentful. It takes no account of evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. How about that? That's it. That's what I'm talking about right there. That's exactly what I mean. Proverbs 15 and verse 17. It says, "Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith." You know what? I was reading on this a little bit more when I was going through my lesson this afternoon. And I thought about this. It's better to just have a dinner where you don't have very much there, but love's there, than it is to have a stalled ox and to have hatred there. You know, I can look around and I see a lot of people, and they probably got a lot, but they also have that hatred there. And I look around and I see people who maybe they don't have much, but they have love. They have the most important thing there. And this year is saying it's a whole lot better to have a whole lot less if you have that love. And it's not saying that it's wrong to have things. It's just saying it's better If you don't have to, if you have to choose whether you're going to have love or hatred there. And that's my point tonight. God don't mind us having things as long as they're a priority. His priority is number one. He don't mind. He pours blessings out on us. He will bless us, and He does many times. In the Bible, He shows many examples while He does. So it's not that I have something against that. It's that it has to be that God is number one. Everything else comes less than. Proverbs 17, verse 9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. This here is talking about people talking about things. It's exactly what it's talking about. But look what it says about that one who keeps his mouth shut, it's a plainer way put. That's what I have in my footnote here. He that covereth a transgression, he seeketh love. You know what? As we as Christians, if we were seeking after love, you know what? We'd be finding it. We'd be finding it within our relationships, one with another, with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and with the world, with everyone that we're in contact with. You know, like the Scripture says, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find. If you're seeking after it, you're going to find it. The Lord has so arranged it where if you do ask, you receive, and where you seek, you do find it. It's a matter of us getting on that track and doing it. If we make sure that love is something that we want, then that's it. We should. If we repeat a matter, if we're saying, talking about someone, busybody and spreading gossip or whatever, we do like it says here, we separate very friends. How many times have you ever told something that hurt somebody's feelings? How many times that somebody told something on you that you didn't really want told? They hurt your feelings. Maybe you told them in confidence. Well, I sure know how that feels. You know, that's how come I make it a point now to not ever tell anything that anybody don't want me to tell. If you tell me this is in confidence, my lips are sealed. You'll never hear it from me. And that's the way it should be. Now, I'm just using this for example. I'm not saying I'm a fine fella and all this, because I'm just like everyone else. I'm human. But I know about me better than I do anyone else, see. And that's one thing that's sacred to me. It's sacred to have friends who are the same way. And we as brothers and sisters in Christ must set that example in our society to be the leaders. We should say, what you're saying is not right. Just think, if no one would listen to gossip, would gossip stop? Absolutely. If you just say, I had a relative and I love her and everything and all, but she'd call me up on the phone and want to talk and talk about people. And finally, the last time almost the last time she called me. Well, it probably was the last time she called me. But anyways, I said, I really don't have time to listen to this. I'm sorry. And I don't have. I have more important things that I need to be doing than listen to what's going on with who and how and why and what. And so many times those things get all stretched out of proportion. They're not even true anyways. And we as Christians especially don't need to be telling things that's not true, do we? And we're doing damage and harm to other people. That's more importantly. 18 and 21, it goes right into that. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You ever thought about that? Death and life in the power of the tongue. It is very important. We do kill people sometimes with our tongue. You think about that? Spiritually, we kill people sometimes with our tongue. You know what? If you're beat down enough, you know, with your tongue, you know what? You're going to start to believe it after a while. If you're not encouraged and uplifted in the Lord, you know what? It could cause you to lose your faith. We don't think about that sometimes. We need to be loving, kind, and caring, and encouraging, and uplifting, and positive on things. We have the most reasons or more than maybe anybody does. In Proverbs 13 and verse 3, it says, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. If you keep your mouth, you keep your life. That's a pretty simple principle, ain't it? Means you have some self-control, don't it? Means that you're trying, you're willing to do what's right with your mouth. You know, God has changed the direction of how I use my tongue. I used to use it for a lot of things that it ought not be used for, and now He's changed it to be used for the furtherment of His gospel. And that's the way it should be for all of us as Christians. Because we've got the good news. We have the gospel. We have the great news. We have the best news there is. of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, turn there if you would. This is from Solomon, considered as the wisest or the wisest that would ever be. He talked about it and he said, to everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven. And in his list of those things, and I've heard this in funerals many times, but he mentions down there in verse 8, and there's a time to love. Well, I conclude to you today that today is a time to love. That we start today, if we hadn't been being like that, then we need to be. We need to change. We need to deny ourselves and say, I'm not going to be like my human nature is. I'm not going to be like my fleshly man is anymore. And you know what? I know this as well as anyone, because sometimes I can get aggravated, and I'm the same way. But it ought not to be. And I know it's a problem, and that's the reason I need to work at it, and I need to overcome it. And you know what I need? I need the Lord to help me in it. Because I can't do it on my own. I'm one of them independent kind of persons. I want to do everything I can on my own. But this business about living for the Lord and having all these fleshly things and that battle with the old man like Paul talked about, I can't overcome them things without the Lord. I need to do my part in it though too though. I don't think I need to be lazy and let the Lord do it all. But I have to have the Lord to give me the strength to be able to do it. And we all are that way if we just realize it. And the thing of it is He promises He'd be there with us. He'd never leave us nor forsake us. And He will. If we ask for strength, we'll get it. If we seek after to do His will, He'll give us what we need. The knowledge, the wisdom, the ability, the strength, whatever we need. If we ask of the Lord, He'll make sure that we have what we need. Let's get into the New Testament a little bit. Matthew chapter 22. Let's read a little bit. The question in verse 36, they asked Jesus, they said, Master, what is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. They ask Him, what is the greatest thing? And Jesus said, loving God with everything, your total, absolute being, and love your neighbor as yourself. You know what? The reason He said these things, you can look at the Ten Commandments, and you can see how if you really love the Lord like He's talking about here, and you really love your neighbor as yourself, you won't break one of those. You know what? All the principles are totally inclusive into how we love the Lord and how we love one another. If we can get that thing right, these things in the Bible won't be a problem. We'll totally understand why we shouldn't do this or do that. You know, we surely won't covet or none of these things. We won't steal. We won't cheat. But we won't do none of those things if we have that love in our heart like we should. And that's what Jesus was saying to them. He's saying all the law and the prophets hang upon these two commandments. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 13, and verse 34. He said He would give a new commandment. How about that? Anyone know what the new commandment that He is, that He's given? A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. And He don't stop there. He says, as I have loved you, and that ye also love one another. He says it again. I want you to love one another. This is a new commandment to you. And the same way that I loved you, that's how I want you to love one another. Love one another. Repeats it again. And in verse 35, He says, men may know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. Well, how's people going to know that I belong to the Lord? Well, He was talking specifically to His disciples here. But I believe it's true today, just the same. If you have that love within your heart like that, and you show it one to another, people are going to know that you're His disciple today. It's the same.
And I'll tell you the opposite of that. I don't care what you know. I don't care what you accomplish in the Lord. I don't care what kind of laws you keep and how many times you're in church and how much money you give or nothing about it. What your abilities are, your teaching, your preaching, whatever it is. If you don't have love, then you don't have nothing. You don't have the Lord. You don't have God because the Scripture says that God's love. If you have God, you have love. If you have Jesus, you have love. Because He said, the things He spoke, it wasn't His. It was God's. The words that I speak. John chapter 15, verse 9. It says, "As the Father hath loved me, and so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love." Then in verse 10, how does He want you to do it? How does He want you to continue in His love? He says, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love." That's how you do it. You do the things that God has said for you to do. You do what Jesus spoke from His mouth. Chapter 15, verse 13, verse 17, it also talks about that. But he said, it's a command. Verse 17, He says, "And I command you." This is what Jesus said. This is in your red lettered edition. Jesus said it. He spoke it. This is right from His mouth, our Lord and Savior. "I command you." Love is a command. It's not an option. It's not some advice He's given to you if you want to do it. He's commanding you that you love one another. That you have it. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "God commendeth His love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us." While we were living out there and totally undone and wasn't keeping His law and wasn't trying and didn't care and didn't show love and didn't care about anybody else, maybe even. And Christ died for us anyway. How about that? God showed He loved us by allowing His only begotten Son to die for us. To pay the price for our sins. We couldn't pay it. We wasn't worthy. There was nothing we can do to be reconciled to God. And He commended His love toward us in that. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." Boy, some people read this in certain situations, they'd think, "Man, I don't believe so." But you know, as I get older in time and see how things come together, and I don't know all of God's plan going on behind the scenes, I see that how the people who really serve the Lord, you know what? All things do work together. It says it right here that we know that all things. It don't say that we think this happens or this should happen or maybe this is going to happen. It says we know. You know what? We as Christians and children of the Lord, we should know too. And yet we can look at examples and people say, "Well, why did this happen to a helpless child? Or why do they have this sad disease?" Well, I don't know all the answers to that. But I just know if I'm serving the Lord and I'm called and I'm doing His purpose, I'm doing the things He's wanting me to do, you know what? All things are going to work for good. I see people be brought to the Lord from things like that. I see people die, and it's like the Scripture that talks about a kernel of corn dying, except it die, that much fruit can't be brought forth, you know. But if you plant one kernel, what grows? A stalk. And what grows from that? Sometimes 3 or 4 years. How many kernels is on that? See? And I see people be brought to the Lord when somebody does die, either in the Lord or out of the Lord. It causes people to question and say, "Hey, you never know. This might happen to me." Or someone close to you dies. Or someone you love dies. There's nothing more blessed than the knowing that they're going to be in heaven. And they're at peace with God. And there's nothing more sad when you know how someone lived their life. And I'm not getting out there judging because it ain't my affair. It belongs to the Lord. But you know by how someone lived their lives that it don't go by what God said. And God don't want us to be judging people, no way. He wants us to be fruit inspectors somewhat, though. He wants us to have some common sense about things. If I know somebody lived like the dog all their life and they never come to know the Lord before they died and they're facing God and they never made arrangements for that, you know what? I can figure out in what my mind. And I ain't judging. God just give us common sense.
Don't be a fool and believe that person's in heaven when they never professed, they never lived, they never obeyed the Lord. Don't be a fool and believe it, because it's a lie from the devil. It's so sad when I see that in a funeral, and people believing that everybody's going to get to go to heaven. If you just don't kill nobody and not doing nothing really major, that you're going to get to go to heaven. But that ain't the criteria, is it? You have to be in Christ. There's a very specific pattern telling you how to get in Christ. And you have to be covered with that blood. And your sins have to be forgiven and washed away, like Saul, who was told, "Arise, arise, Saul, why tarriest thou," by Ananias. And wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And see, that's it. It's so sad when I see that. To be straight up, that ain't showing love, is it? And I'll be perfectly honest with you, I can't do it. I can read some scriptures and I can tell you a little bit about a person, but I will not try to preach someone into heaven. So how somebody lives their life every day, that's obituary for them right there. People know it. There's not nothing I can say about someone where they went to heaven or they changed them going to heaven or hell. Now, there ain't nothing I can say. But I can speak to the people there that's unprepared and tell them they need to get ready. Because every one of us is going to face that one day. And we're going to stand before God. And either we're going to be prepared or we're not going to be prepared. And it's going to be where God was a priority to us or not. That's exactly the basis of it. Whether we went by the things He said. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Turn with me there if you would. Says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are now more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Nothing can separate us from the love of God. You know, the only thing that even comes into play is where we're going to allow something in. If we're walking in the light as He is in the light, we're doing the things the Lord has told us to do, nothing can separate us from God. Nothing can separate us from His love as long as we're in Christ Jesus. Nothing. That's a pretty awesome thing, isn't it? We are more than conquerors through Him, in verse 37. You know, I like to see the church get up and get all fired up and get that feeling and living it in their lives that we're more than conquerors. We're not all beat down and pushed back and quiet and don't have nothing to say and run down and the cares of this world overtaking us and choking us out. I like to see the church, the Lord's people, who I'm talking about too. I ain't talking about this building. I'm talking about the Lord's people get up and truly live that in their lives, because it's here. The Word's alive today. It's not dead. It's not something that's wrote back there. It's not a history book neither, even though it does have some history in it. It's a living Word of God. God breathed. It's inspired of Him. He chose holy men to write exactly what He says. And anybody who contends that it's different is a liar. No other way around it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. I want you to listen to this. It says, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." We can't even imagine. My little pea brain won't go far enough for me to imagine, even in my wildest dream, the best thing that I could even imagine in my life here on this earth. Don't even start to compare. Ain't even a glimmer of what God has in store for them that love Him. And that's to everyone. It's there for the taking. It's there for the having. It's for the having right here in this life too. We need to be spiritually minded. We need to be so happy that we're living heaven right here on earth. You know what? Within ourselves, we're at peace with the Lord. And we're living these promises that God's give us right here. So that we'll be able to help some people who's in need. And strong and steadfast and unmovable. We don't need to be tossed about with every wind of doctrine. We need to know what God's Word is so we can say, that's a lie. It's not the truth. It's not what God says. It's some man-made. It's some opinion of man. And we need to say, here's why. Because God's Word says it here, 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 and here.
Amen.
Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. It's listed as one of the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Very important. By the way, as I looked in the Strong's Concordance, I think it listed love about 275 times, and charity about another 35 times. And I know sometimes it don't have every one of the things in there, but it's mentioned over 300 times that I looked at today, going back through my lesson. Do you think it ain't important to the Lord then if He put it in there that many times? I just know that it is. I believe it's one of the most important things. In Ephesians 5, and y'all have heard this if you hear me preach, but some of you hadn't heard me preach. It talked about the husbands, they need to love their wives as Christ loved the church. That's the kind of love you need to have for them. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, it says, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. God's gave us that kind of spirit. Power, love, a sound mind. That used to be one of my things. I'd say, well, I'm kind of crazy. I get by on that, you know. But you know what? Since I've got myself straightened out in the Lord, I can't use that for no excuse no more, can I? I might be kind of crazy a little bit, but in a funny kind of way maybe. But the fact of the matter is God would have me to be, have a sound mind, to have power. And that's through His Word and in Him and in spreading His gospel and helping bringing people to the Lord. It ain't that I got no special powers, just through Him. And all that I have, it belongs to Him and is because of Him. And that same spirit being that spirit of love that I've been talking about all night here tonight. And if you don't have it, you need to get it. It's an important thing. And sometimes we might find ourselves all caught up, you know, in the world and the things going on. And we hadn't taken the time. But we need to make sure that we do take the time to do that. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 3 and 4, it talks about the aging women to teach the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. Do you get from that it's passed down how that people learn how to love other people? Absolutely. That's why we need to be teaching our children and our younger ones how to love one another. How they know that is how that we've modeled it in our lives. And that we pass that on to them. You know what? There's not anything more important that you can pass on to your children or your grandchildren or just the people that you love than the gospel of Jesus and them having that relationship with Him so they can go to heaven one day. And another thing that I'd like to throw in there with it is this. It's important too. Is how we model in our life these things that the Lord's told us to do. Because if you don't think they catch on, man, I tell you, these little old bitty kids can just read you like a book. They know if you really love them or not. They know if you take the time for them or not. And I tell you what, you need to. I know I see it in life. I see it with my grandkids, and I use them for example a lot. But how that many times they're busy in life and trying to make a living and trying to survive. And they're missing out on some precious, important times in children's lives. And you know what? That's a cycle all the way up. And it's not just with the children either. It's with everyone else too. Because you don't know if they're going to be here today or tomorrow. You don't know if you're going to be there today or tomorrow. So take time for the priorities in your life. And there's nothing more important. There's nothing more important than people here on this earth. The Lord's focus, after a second to Him that I read you earlier in those commandments, was one another, wasn't it? So take time. Turn off your toys. Turn off the things that you spend your time doing and that makes your fancy or whatever. Sit on the porch and talk to people and spend time with people and show love and further our relationships. You know, I don't believe things would be falling apart if we wasn't so self-absorbed. I truly believe that. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says, provoke unto love and good works. 1 Peter 2 and 21 says, love one another with a pure heart. And in closing, turn if you would to Ecclesiastes 9. And we're going to read a little bit there. And that will conclude my lesson. Go back to the wise man, Solomon. It says, for all this I consider my heart even to declare all this. that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, and to the good and to the clean and to the unclean. To him that sacrificeth and to him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is the sinner. And he that sweareth is he that feareth an oath. There is an evil among all things that are done under the sun. But there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil. And madness is in their heart while they live. And after that they go to the dead. It says, for to him that is joined to all the living there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living knoweth that they shall die, but the dead knoweth not anything. Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love, their hatred, their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. I want to ask you here today, what are you passing on? What's going to be left? What is your legacy that you're leaving? Is it one of these listed here? I'd hope it'd be love. But it may not be. It may be hatred. It may be envy. But you know what? You're through when that day comes. When you pass from this life to there, all that's going to matter is if you know the Lord. If you've been obedient unto Him, if you went by His Word, you're born again, you're a new creation in Him, your sins are forgiven, that's all that's going to matter. That's my message for tonight. If you're here and you're not a child of the Lord's, you'd like to become one. If you'd like to become in Christ, as we're talking about, in Acts chapter 2 and 38, when they're pricked in their hearts, when they're told that they crucified Jesus, the very Son of God, they told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, is what it says. We're also told to confess our sins. We're also told to confess that Jesus is Lord, that God made Him both Lord and King, and that we believe that He died, and on the third day, He rose again. And after we do that, we're going to have to change our lives. We're going to have to be that new creation. We're not going to be perfect at that point, but we're going to have to start denying ourselves and taking up our cross and living it after Him. We're going to have to tell ourselves no. I think that's how Brother McCurdy told it. He said that's what that means. You need to tell yourself no. Denying yourself. And that's what we need to do. We need to repent, stop doing those things that we was doing before and start doing these things right here. It's not a hard thing. It's an easy thing. And if you're here and you've not been faithful, you want our prayers for you and with you. If you can't say that you have this love in your heart like I preached about tonight and you want it, then we'll pray with you and for you that you get it. And that if you don't have it, you need it. Because when it comes to the end, it's only going to matter about love, ain't it? It's going to matter if He loved you and that you loved Him. And He said that if you love Me, you keep My commandments. That's my message. Come as we sing the invitation. It's been asleep.